All right, let's talk about it. Major Jujutsu Kaisen spoilers. Today, we'll be discussing chapter 236, but more specifically, we'll be talking about the end of Gojo Satoru. If, in fact, this is the end. You can call me delusional, but I have some theories as to why Gojo might not be gone for good. Welcome to the Serena in 2D podcast. Whether you're listening to this on YouTube or Spotify or any other podcasting platforms, I'm glad you're joining me because, man, today we are talking about one of the most emotional moments in anime and manga history. If you know me, you know that I am a diehard Gojo fan, and this chapter hurt. It hit, and it hurt hard. If you're looking for someone to talk about the power scaling and the fighting of this, then I'm not your girl. Instead, as per usual, we're going to focus in on the story and the emotional impact. The night, or shall I say the early morning, that the leaks dropped, man, the internet was a mess. Why was it that even though certainly we had this great build-up, we had Gojo versus Sukuna, right? That these are the two juggernauts of the series. They're facing off, and it shouldn't be a surprise that we see a major casualty during this fight. It was even established back in the earliest chapters that Gojo saw himself as someone strong enough to defeat Sukuna, with Itadori asking him who would win in a fight between himself and Sukuna, and of course, Gojo said, "I would win." But here's my major issue with this fight. Gojo and Sukuna have barely interacted with one another. The audience is expected to be able to piece together the facts that both Gojo and Sukuna are lonely, and they are lonely because they are so powerful, and that this can cause some trouble when it comes to love. But we haven't gotten a true backstory for Sukuna, and the only person that lets us know that Sukuna is lonely is Yorozu, the sorcerer who took over the body of Megumi's sister, Sumiki. And she was a trip. She was just so kooky. And that flashback that we got where she sees Sukuna and just decides that he's lonely lacks all emotional impact. She just saw him sitting there, and it didn't look like a melancholy situation. He was just sitting, and she determined that he was lonely, and she said, "Okay, I can fix him. I can go to him, and he will love me, and I love him." And she fell in love with him for no reason at all other than the fact that he was powerful and lonely, and she thought she could connect with him on that level. Now, the quote from Yorozu changes between different translations, but it's something around the lines of, "Absolute strength, the loneliness that follows, the one who will teach you about love is me." She says me, but lately we've been seeing it trail off at the me part. And Sukuna has been thinking about this while looking at, well, Gojo. Gojo, the one that carries the title of the strongest, understands loneliness and love. And this isn't the first time that Gojo's experience with love has been brought up. Even way back in Volume 0, where Gojo expresses some knowledge of love when he tells Yuta that love creates, or that love is, the most twisted curse of them all. Gojo's experience with love would only come from his experience with Geto. And I'm guessing that Sukuna was somewhat aware of this. And of course, we see this quote brought up again in this chapter. And here comes the other frustrating part. Gojo just kind of telling us that he knew that Sukuna was lonely, and that he, you know, tried to reach out to him or connect with him on some level. They were fighting, guys. It was a fight. There was no conversation. And we don't really get Gojo acknowledging that loneliness and that kinship. And I would have loved to see that brought up, either explained to Sukuna or to us as the audience. And Gojo, while there was some tenderness in the fighting, which a lot of people joked about how it seemed like they were almost dancing, it was a bit weird, it was a bit odd, and I think that added to this lightheartedness that made it feel odd that this would be the fight where Gojo would lose his life. I was never so delusional where I thought that nothing bad would happen to Gojo and that he would just walk away with this with a win. I've been talking about Gojo dying and possibly dying on the 24th, on the same day that Gero died, for quite some time now. But when we started with this fight, or especially when we started getting into the fight, I started to think that there might be some different ways that Akutami would handle the conclusion of this fight, where Gojo could still be taken out of the picture in order to let his students shine, and he could still live. That way, his students would still be able to shine. Because for the past, what, 6 chapters, they've been watching television and giving commentary. And Gojo losing his powers could have played beautifully into the story, because Gojo's identity and how it formed around his strength, you know, since he was a child, is a big part of his story. People respected and feared him based on his strength. And he was so happy to have Gero by his side when he was in high school, because together they were the strongest. His identity was now shared with another person. But once they split up, he had no one to share that identity with. And Akutami does a beautiful job at illustrating, you know, literally, how Gojo is alone in this title as the strongest. In that little chapter, a little extra chapter that Akutami added in, there's a scene where people are being interviewed, all the different students and Nanami and some other people are being interviewed about what they think about Gojo. And the consensus is that he's the strongest. And in the illustration where that final bubble where it says the strongest, Gojo is by himself with no one but his shadow by his side. And he does not look happy. Then there's Geto's famous question for Gojo. Are you Gojo Satoru because you're the strongest? Or are you the strongest because you're Gojo Satoru? I've always interpreted this question as, are you defined by your strength, or is it you, the you that you intrinsically are, that makes you strong? So was Gojo identifying with his strength, or does he know that he has a being, a self that's powerful and that makes him him outside of his strength? And so if Gojo lost his powers, this would give him an opportunity to gain a new identity without having the strongest as part of his title. To find value in who he is outside of his abilities, his 6 eyes, his limitless. The next reason why Gojo's passing doesn't feel satisfying is because he did not get to bury Geto's body. After being freed from the prison realm, Gojo teleports right to Kinjaku, to Geto's body. Gojo, for lack of a better word, was pissed. He was pissed that Kinjaku took his loved one's body and was taunting him with it. He used it, of course, in order to get Gojo to be stuck in the prison realm. And then Sukuna was the one who butted in between him trying to annihilate Kinjaku. One of the things that Gojo says he'd like to do before fighting Sukuna is to mourn Geto's body. Then Gojo, after learning today's date, decides on a date where they should meet up again, which is December 24th. Kinjaku scoffs at this date and says that it's romantic and that he'd rather not spend that day with Gojo. For those of you who don't know, in Japan, Christmas and Christmas Eve are sometimes spent between lovers. So it's seen as a romantic holiday. We also know, of course, that this was the day that Gojo had to take the life of Geto. And Gojo says he'd rather not have 2 death anniversaries on 2 different days, so he wants to consolidate them. And so, when we fast forward, it's shocking that we never got to see Gojo and Kinjaku meet back up. So there wasn't even an opportunity for Gojo to try and bury Geto's body. Gojo should have at least been involved in the burial of Geto's body. And the reason I say this is that this whole predicament surrounds Gojo's inability to truly be able to let go of Geto. Gojo fails to take care of business when it comes to him because of how much love he has for Geto. This attachment, of course, is mirrored in Yuta and Rika's story. When we get to Shibuya, Gojo's words that love is the most twisted curse of all, or creates the most twisted curses of all, becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. Gojo, because of his deep feelings for Geto, was unable to properly bury his body, which left him vulnerable for the likes of Kenjaku. And Kenjaku, of course, was able to use Gojo's weakness, his love for Geto, against him in order to freeze him in place and place him inside of the prison realm. Another reason it would have been nice if Gojo had buried Geto's body is because that was the wish of Geto's adoptive daughters. They wanted to bury their adoptive father's body. They knew that there was no bringing him back, but they wanted to put him to rest and to get Kenjaku out of there. One other mystery that we still have dangling is, how did Gojo seemingly get a reaction out of Geto's body? Gojo seemed to have known that he could have called upon Geto. He spoke to him and said, you know, isn't it about time for you to wake up too, Geto? Are you going to let him use your body like this? And that got a reaction out of Geto, and he started to, you know, try to strangle his own body in order to save Gojo from Kenjaku. And then later in Shibuya, we have Kenjaku saying that he's starting to sound like Geto. Like, he seems to almost even lose control of the way that he's laughing or speaking, and it kind of unnerves him a bit, and he realizes that there's some residual amounts of Geto that are still in there. And remember, after the fight between Geto's arm coming at his own throat, he had to speak to Mahito. Kenjaku wanted to speak to Mahito about the relationship between the body and soul, because in all of his years of body hopping, he had never experienced something like this before. So it would have been so interesting to see this come back up again. And unfortunately, it seems like we might not see any more moments of Geto having influence over his own body while Kenjaku's in control of it anymore. Next, let's talk about Megumi. At the start of this fight between Gojo and Sukuna, Gojo says that he will worry about Megumi after he kills Sukuna. And this was pretty intriguing at the beginning, because, of course, how are you going to do this, Gojo? How are you going to kill Sukuna but save Megumi? It made us think that maybe he's going to be able to target Sukuna's soul specifically and free Megumi. And, well, that ties into the next point that I have is, where is this extra finger? Where is the extra Sukuna finger? Remember, Kenjaku said that he believed that Gojo was in possession of the final Sukuna finger. And while Sukuna himself says that he doesn't need it, you don't bring up something like that unless it's going to pay off somehow. Now, we don't know if for sure Gojo is in possession of this finger, but it would make sense. Like Kenjaku said, he believed that maybe Gojo has it because he never wanted Itadori to be executed. He would indefinitely postpone it. So if Gojo is dead, was there a plan? Was Gojo maybe going to use that finger in order to save Megumi by targeting the soul via his finger? And of course, as a Nobara fan, I love the idea of Nobara being able to target Sukuna's soul directly using her nails and not hurt Megumi. And maybe Gojo had given the finger to Nobara, or if Gojo himself knows how to do target the soul, he could use the finger as some way to target just Sukuna's soul. But so far, we don't know if that's going to pay off. And either way, it doesn't feel great that this is something that's introduced at the beginning of the fight about him, you know, doing something that could kill Sukuna but save Megumi, and now, who knows? Who knows where that's gonna go? Now, why do I think Gojo might come back into the story? I do believe that he is dead at this point, but I don't think that he has fully moved on. We've seen transportation used all the time in JJK, so these set pieces are very important to Akutami. To deliberately have Gojo in an airplane terminal, not an airplane, had to be done with some sort of intention. Maybe Gojo, instead of going onto the plane and departing, he will be sent back. And at this point of the story, Gojo still has a body. And maybe more importantly, he has a brain. Jujutsu Kaisen is no stranger to playing with the tether between the soul and the body and the mind. Itadori's heart was ripped out early on in the story, and he was able to come back. Geto's connection with his own body defied what Kenjaku, a sorcerer who's been around for over 1,000 years, had known about the body and soul connection. And Gojo is truly limitless. Gojo, after seemingly being killed by Toji, tells him that he should have cut his head off, because that would have kept him from being able to do reverse curse technique. Gojo is severed at his core, but Jujutsu sorcerers circulate cursed energy all throughout their bodies. It's not just stored in one local place like in the core. So, presumably, if Gojo had to use a cursed technique, which of course requires his brain, and if he needed cursed energy, he might have enough in his body to pull some sort of stunt. Gege Akutami has made it no secret that they are a huge fan of Yoshihiro Togashi, the creator of Hunter x Hunter and Yu Yu Hakusho. With Togashi's influence being evident to so many fans of JJK, I wouldn't be surprised if Gege Akutami took more inspiration from Togashi and brought back a sensei. In Yu Yu Hakusho, the elderly sensei Genkai is killed, but she's also brought back to life. The other reasons why I think Gojo might come back into the story is pretty much most of the points that I just made. The missing Sukuna finger, Gojo not even meeting back up with Kenjaku, and so on. But my biggest concern is that Gojo might actually be gone for good. Especially considering the fact that Gojo hoped that that time with his friends in the airplane terminal wasn't a dream. Showing that he would be happy to be dead. Back during his fight with Toji, he was able to use reverse curse technique because he wanted to live. So if he's happy where he is, why would he choose to come back to the living? Gege Akutami is an interesting writer, and I don't think it would be ridiculous for them to want to play with our hearts, to create the scenario with Gojo, to shock us, to get us to maybe keep reading and see how are the students going to handle all this, while still maybe bringing Gojo back at some point later on in the story, which would be another shocker. Again, characters coming back from seemingly beyond the grave is nothing new for this series, so I'm hopeful. Beyond that, though, what I really enjoyed from this chapter was seeing Gojo and Geto and everyone back when they were in high school, in their high school forms. And I love that Gojo seemingly got Geto to tear up a little bit and smile and just that joy. Even with Gojo, we see how expressive he is. He's back to his expressive self again, and it's so adorable. And it was great seeing Riko again as well. How did you feel about this now infamous chapter? Where do you think the story is going from here? And of course, do you think we'll ever see Gojo again? Thank you for staying with me till the end, and if you like what you heard, then please make sure to give me a like and a follow, and I would love to hear from you in the comments. I'll see you in the next one.